podcast is PG, may contain sketchy advice, embarrassing anecdotes, and may not be suitable for parents who think they have their shit together. This is PG with Roxanne Wilder and Mark Jason.
All right, Mark, I don't know about you, but I need a night out with my significant other.
You need a night out?
We just took a family vacation to Chicago. It was awesome. And actually, we had babysitters there who were willing to watch our daughter we went out in big city. And I was too tired to do anything that late because I knew she'd wake up at 6 o'clock because she's still on Eastern
time. I feel
like
the more you vacation, the more you want a vacation.
Yes.
So the more you go out with your significant other, the more you want to go out with your... You know what I'm saying? So it almost... Not that it works against you, but it's not like, oh, I just had a vacation. I'm good for a couple of years. No. You know how some people get addicted to traveling because they go and they travel and they're like, oh, I can't not do this. Like, I have to do this,
right? You need that high again. You need to have something on your calendar circled to look forward to.
100%.
So we had that opportunity for date night. It didn't happen. And I blame myself and also just circumstances. Like I said, you're tired and you know the next day is going to start early with the baby. And it's more fun for me to not have some drinks, not stay out late, and then rather go to bed decent time and feel good in the morning. But you have a pretty stringent rule that you follow in your household that it's probably pretty healthy.
We need it. If we didn't, it just wouldn't work. But it's hardwired in. One night a week, we go out. One night a week. There are weeks it's two nights a week.
Good for you.
Oh yeah, we catch a lot of judgment though. Like there are plenty of parents who are like,
that's what do they say?
They just go, you know, where do you find the time? And, you know, babysitting's expensive and this and that. I'm going, yeah, but this is like for mental clarity, right? This is for adults that can actually have adult conversations with each other, with each other. So, cause you know how it is, like when you're with the kids all day, I mean, it becomes a point. Sometimes I'll ask myself, when was the last time I thought about something or said something that anybody over like 18 would understand or get into, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So Josh, you got to do that once a week, but we catch plenty of judgment for going out, and it's not like a big, you know, like sometimes we'll go to like a beach bar, have a few beers, right? Or we'll go to like a restaurant. We'll just have like a quiet dinner. It's nothing crazy. Sometimes we'll just go to the beach and just sit on the beach, crack a few cold ones, but it's more about just talking about adult things, you know, being able to use language that wouldn't be good around kids.
Salty language.
Yeah, man. Cause you have to get that out. You have to release. It's like the steam valve, right? You turn it. It's like, you just have to kind of let that go. Whatever that is, it's all built up in you.
You're making me feel a little bit better because we're not there yet with the baby that we censor ourselves as far as swearing because she is starting to pick up certain words and repeat us and stuff. But we still have those adult conversations that she may not fully understand that we wouldn't have around her if she was able to understand context and everything that we were talking about. So we still get that every night we sit down together as a family, we have dinner, the baby's there, but he and I are usually discussing, Doug and I talk about whatever we need to talk about, no phones, et cetera. But I have a funny story because we did go on a date night accidentally. We were supposed to go to the DeBartolo White party and I had it on my calendar the wrong day. Imagine that. Haggard mom just, you know, picked the wrong day. So we went 2 weeks early. We get to the restaurant. We get to Eddie V's.
Some people mess it up like by a day. You went 2 weeks early.
We're just in all white. Doug, we pull up. He goes, the whole time he's like, Roxanne, you swear this is a white party. You swear this is a white party. I'm not going to look like an idiot. I said, I promise it is. We get to Eddie V's and we're in the parking lot. He goes, I don't see anybody in white. Trust me, once we get inside, everybody's going to be white. I'm quite certain of it. And I'm going, I even pulled out the invitation and showed him. And then we get on my phone and we get inside. What I failed to read on the invitation is the date.
The date. Yeah. Yes. The most important part of the invitation, right? Yeah. So what'd you do? Did you just suck it up and you're like, we're here anyway?
Yes. He just looks at me. You know, we had a babysitter. So we went and we sat down and it was funny because we just do so little of that where it's just the two of us going to have dinner, going to do whatever activity it is that it was almost at the beginning of the conversation. We're like, okay, what do we talk about again? That's not peppered with, all right, honey, take that out of your mouth. All right, do this, honey. How do we get into that rhythm again? So that's what you're talking about. And that's what's so important. So
you have to ice break it with a couple of cocktails or glasses of wine. You guys are wine drinkers.
Always helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you got to ice break it a little bit. And you know, and then things just start to, I don't know. Things just start to, you know.
You connect.
Yeah, the groove, it's okay. It's like muscle memory. It never goes away, but you have to sort of kind of stretch out a little bit.
Yes. Yeah. And I was talking to one of my friends recently who was talking about how they're attracted to this person. And the reason so, I said, the reason you're attracted is you like who you are when you're talking to them. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how we all fall in love with people in the beginning anyways. So you have to rediscover that part of yourself that you like, that you're proud of, that you think is sexy and appealing, because that's what comes out when you go on these date nights. And the other thing, this is particularly true for women. So we go to this wedding in Chicago, and it's funny, the things you think about before you have kids, you worry about, oh, do I have the right earrings to go with this dress? And I halfway to the wedding and I realize, oh, I forgot my earrings. I've got no earrings in. Oh, well, who cares? Yeah. And so then at the actual wedding, I'm not kidding you, my daughter was, Doug took her outside during the wedding. It was at a church. It was a long service, relatively long. And so he comes back in and he's like, oh, you wouldn't believe her. She pooped everywhere. Oh, it was a mess. I took care of it. And he's really good. He's really good at diaper duty and he knows what he's doing. But to do it on the fly in the car, et cetera. So she's sitting on my lap and I look down when I hand her to him and I was like, what is that on my dress? And smeared on my dress is poop. And I'm like, honey, I know it's not your fault, but you missed a spot. So I've got poop on my dress. Then at the reception, he has, you know, I deal with that with wipes. I was like, thought about buying a new dress before we got to the reception, but I dealt with it.
No, you can't do that. That's giving up.
Yeah, that's giving up. Yeah, and then he got his whole wine spilled on his shirt because she dumped it over on him. Yeah. Again, our fault because the wine glass was too close to her. But you just don't care. You just look at each other and go,
Look,
you're covered in wine. I'm covered in, know what?
Yeah.
And we don't care, but you do. There is that part of you that used to care and you have to find that part of you.
You have to find the part and you know, it's all about calling audibles. Like, right. Before you had a baby, that would have been just like, that would have been a game changing moment of your year.
Yes.
Right. You got poop on you. That's not your, that would have been a game changer of your year. You just, I
that's
mean,
just
this
not
would have
sanitary.
Been, there would have been like counseling needed and, yes. and a lot of days off and everything. But when you have kids, it's just like, this is just part of the deal. This is the game and you're in the game and that's part of the rules of the game and everything like that. So yeah, I know. And that's a good, that's a great example of why you got to get out once a week.
You're beat down and you're covered in wine and whatever.
And you're thinking about it and there's all this stuff. And then the other person knows that it's part of it with, you know, with you. And oh God. Yeah. I need a date night tonight. Just for you telling that story. I'm going to have to go out and blow off a little steam, but yeah, it's true. But I do. There are some super judgy people out there. Yeah. And it's funny as you talk, I wonder myself, it's like you said, people like each other because of how they make you feel, which I think is true.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if after some people have kids, maybe it's like, I don't know that I'm into the other person as much anymore. Maybe they don't want to go on date nights with them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, because it becomes, for some people I've noticed, it does become all about the kids.
Sure.
So maybe that's part of it. But I've caught in some judgment on like once a week. That's crazy. And even people have said, I would feel guilty if I left my kids once a week. I'm like, left them? I mean, that's a strong word, like left them.
Right.
I mean, yes, physically you leave, but I mean, I don't know, 2-3 mm-hmm. hours, you know, just to catch some cocktails and just kind of like, you know, do adult talk stuff. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, and sometimes it's like, there's no agenda. It's like, let's just go kind of hang out somewhere mm-hmm. where there's no one's going to, like, you're not going to hear mommy or daddy for 2 or 3 hours. And if you do, it's the next table over. It's those people's kids, you know, it's not ours. Yeah. And that's the only reason why, but there are some people out there like, oh, I'd feel guilty. You know, I actually know, we have friends. I know a couple of friends. They have not been out alone. I would say it's probably 3 or 4 years, their youngest. They have never gone out on their own, which is like...
That's sad.
I mean, if you're happy doing mm-hmm. that, that's cool. I wonder if it's been that long, maybe you should just give it a shot.
And make sure you still click like that.
Right. Maybe it's like, whoa, we have missed some... You know, let's get into this routine right mm-hmm. here. Maybe not every week if you can't swing that or you don't want to swing that. But maybe it's like, oh, this is kind of cool to have just adult time.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes like... You just complain about work or complain about the football game. And that's cool, too, because it's adult stuff. Like, you got to get out. You got to vent the, like I said, it's blowing the.
It makes a lot of sense, too, with the kids, with the range of ages that your children are.
Yeah.
You are having age-appropriate conversations with them mm-hmm. all the time, which really whittles down your content with your wife.
Yeah. And you're right. So we still have diaper drama with Cal. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, we have a middle schooler. That's a whole nother, some of that drama that may be coming around the corner. We'll be wishing back for diaper drama.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because you're starting to get into kind of real stuff with middle school.
Oh, yeah.
Not that we're going through it now, but it's around. You kind of feel the aura of that. It's around and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So, yeah, there's, you just sometimes need to huddle up. You know how football players huddle up before the play because they want to make sure they're on the same page?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of my whole, like, let's just get out and huddle up and just kind of, you know, just draw it out and just, you know, everyone's on the same page.
Uh-huh.
So I would highly recommend it.
And we all lament it, but their childhood goes by so quickly. So eventually they'll be grown up. They'll be doing their, living their own lives. And what are you supposed to, oh, who are you? I forgot who you were.
Hey, a lot of people, and you hear those stories, Roxanne.
Empty nest stories.
Yeah. It, you know, so-and-so's going off to college a year later. It's like, oh, my parents got divorced.
I know.
It's like, yeah. And I think you, when the more you read about that, you see it's a lot of one kid families.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it's all they had to focus on.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
so,
I think you're right about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've read about that before. There, that was like, that became such the focus because it was just one.
It's one person.
Yeah. And so, and then when that goes, you know, it's like all the weekend sports and mm-hmm. the activities and everything. And then it's like, gosh, that was 18 years. And man, 18 years ago, you were different. 18 years ago, I was different. I feel like we stopped connecting for 18 years. That's a long time. You
and
know?
It's sad because people sometimes stay together and they're like, okay, no, we don't have the intimacy that we used to, or we don't have the connection that we used to, but we run this business really well together. We run this business of family.
Becomes a corporation, mm-hmm. right? Sort of. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think in some aspects that's good. If you're talking about, you know, keeping things up, keeping up with things.
Problem solving.
Yeah. You know, and probably like fiscally and things like that mm-hmm. to be up on it. I think all that stuff's great. But when it comes to, like you said, you know, emotions and stuff, you got to get out and have some drinks and just kind of, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, we agree on that. I need to do more of that. But I can relate because sometimes we do take vacations, little, you know, getaways on the
weekend
sometimes.
That's good. Yeah.
And then when we do that, I miss my daughter insanely, but that's my neurosis. I would never say to someone, oh, don't you feel guilty
that's
for traveling
natural,
or don't
though.
You feel guilty
yeah,
for going out?
So I think that's natural.
We all need to be a little less judgy.
Right. But I think that's also natural. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you should miss your kids after a certain amount of time where you're like, oh man, I miss my kids and everything. But then you got to appreciate where you're at that moment. Knowing that mm-hmm. most of the moments moving forward are going to be back with your kids. So everything will be, you know, it'll be
right.
good. Like
right.
I said, a couple wines, prime you up a little bit. It'll be good. Yeah, it'll be good.
So do you remember back to the days, the person that you were before you had children?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
me too. Me too. And
yeah,
I just
get on, man, I just scroll through my Facebook timeline and it sends me all the updates from, hey, remember this 12 years
guy?
Ago?
Who's
I'm like,
that guy?
Whoa, look at
not
that dude.
Here in the world.
Yeah, man. I remember.
So I can relate to that part of myself because it wasn't all that long ago. I found this list on BuzzFeed, and it's the things that people who don't have kids are tired of hearing from those who do have kids. So I almost feel a bit of a split personality here because I can relate to both sides.
Yeah.
And I hope that I don't say these things. Some of them I know I flat out would never say to anybody because I have that sympathy or empathy. So here's some of the things, and I'm going to ask if you say any of them. I doubt you say most of these, but.
Oh, great. Now you've just layered me with an expectation here.
I would never say to someone without children, don't worry, there's still time. Do you say that to anybody?
No.
There's still time.
It doesn't sound like something I would say.
Right, because if they don't want them, an infinite amount
don't
of time.
Don't want
yeah.
or can't have.
You
or
don't know.
There's too many. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because way back in the day, people weren't aware of all that, but I think we're aware now more of like, you know, there are people who can't have kids that really want kids.
Right.
You don't want to. No. That's a tough one.
Having children is the best decision I ever made. I would not say this to someone who doesn't have children. And the reason is because it's a great decision, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's for everybody. So who cares if it was my best decision or not?
I feel like I've said it before,
mm-hmm.
but I know that I don't say it a lot. And if I did say it, it was probably more in a arena where it made sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I've said, I gotta be honest.
To the right audience.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have said that. I know I've said it.
How about I didn't know who I was until I had kids?
Never said that.
No. In fact, I feel like I'm just such more of a neurotic version of myself.
You're really on the neurotic thing today. Is everything all right? A couple times you mentioned.
That's for another time. For the show. Okay.
That's for the off-air podcast. That's the off-air podcast. I'm with you on it. I know.
Hasn't your biological clock started ticking? No, I would never say
that.
Oh,
my God.
I mean, I'm a woman. I would never say that to another woman. That's awful.
That's up there with like, have you lost some weight? Isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, that's like, I would never even, no. See, guys, we learn things after being married. Like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe, like I said, you know, get with me 10 years ago and probably all this stuff. I'm like, yeah, probably. Right? You know what I mean? But you learn, man. You learn. Yeah.
Kids give meaning to life.
I've said very similar things. Yeah. I used to say all the time, I think kids bring really good luck.
Oh, like that's cute. Okay.
Yeah, because I always said if you play it right, and the whole reason behind that was, I think, is like when you go through challenging times at work, specifically work, I just feel like when you have kids, it's like there's the outlet of like, does it really matter? Because I'm going home to what really matters.
Sure.
You know?
Which is kind of like twofold because it's kind of connected because you still have to provide for.
Right.
But yes.
Yet I feel like though it's, you know, you have to keep it in perspective. No matter what you do, that doesn't define you. And so the good luck part is like, aren't you lucky to realize that these careers and all these professional aspirations, while healthy, I mean, they're good things as long as you want to, you know, be good things. You know, it's not the end of the day. You're pretty lucky to go home to kids. I think I've used it kind of in that context before. Okay. I've definitely said that though.
Did you ever see the movie Meet Joe Black?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Forever ago. That's my favorite. It's one of my favorite movies. And you know, Anthony Hopkins' character, when he's, you know, nearing the end and he says to his daughter, "You've given me meaning to my life that I had no right to expect." Mm. I think that's a good encapsulation. So it's kind of, but even for those who don't have kids, it doesn't mean they don't have that meaning elsewhere.
Oh,
so,
no, there's a million.
But for me personally, that
there's
I
a million
do feel that
ways
way.
To get those other meanings. Mm-hmm. But I will say, I don't think it's as powerful as having a child because, you know, maybe you have hobbies and things like that, and that's great. But it's not the same. Even though some people might say, oh, it is the same to me. And it's like, yeah, it's really not actually. It's, how could it be the same? Because a child's a living, breathing, it needs care, like real care. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Like your surfboard can't choke, but your kid can, right? Like it's a different kind of like fear and worry and anxiety. Uh-huh. But then because of that, you form like this amazing bond because you are needed for the life to go on with certain things. So yeah, I've said that.
Being a parent will teach you to be less selfish. Have you ever told someone that? And do you think it?
No, it's a good question.
I disagree with that statement because I feel like before I was a parent, I was more thoughtful of other people. In other words, all of my non-selfishness now goes to her, whereas before my non-selfishness went to other people.
Yeah, so I think they're selfish and self-ish. And I think self-ish is healthy, like of yourself.
A strong sense of self.
Right. And I'm a big believer in that and I live that way. And I know it rubs some people the wrong way. But the good thing is that doesn't matter to me. It doesn't. Like, I know that sounds crazy, but like,
because you're selfish.
Because I realize like I am who I am. I'm not going to work on things I'm not good at. I'm not going to spend time worrying about things that might make somebody else happy. It's like even people here at work. I know the people who are like just don't think I'm that great, and I'm like, cool. Like, but it doesn't.
Everyone thinks you're great here, Mark.
No,
I'm going to go take a survey tomorrow. I have no doubt about it. I'll prove it to you.
It's one or two. Maybe you should not ask. Actually, ask. Ask them. But no. But it's kind of like, I get it. Like, you know, we don't all get along and everything, but no, I think maybe kids actually make you more selfish. And I think that's good.
Because it becomes a family. Wait a second. I'm going to do this. I'm going to spend my time doing this because I'm getting paid. And therefore that will help my child.
Just think it hones in like your self-awareness of who you are, what you're good at, what you want to do, and the other things that aren't important. Like it totally separates the macro and the micro. And it just, I just, whatever you thought were big cliffs aren't really big cliffs. That was kind of in your mind.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so, and I think maybe it even goes back to like, now I'm getting off on the tangent, but maybe it goes back to why I think kids bring you good luck because you're kind of lucky for the clarity. Like there are so many things that happen that it falls off my back. Like, I'm just like, whatever. Like I just, you know, but maybe 10 or 15 years ago, I know it wouldn't have. I'd have been like, oh really? You want to play that game? You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Like we can do this. And now I'm just kind of like, keep rolling in that existence because it doesn't matter to me because I'm thinking about myself.
Absolutely.
You know, now that's different than you're driving down the road and somebody's car breaks down and it's, you know, you pull over and you help them. That's not really what I'm saying is like when you're just focusing on who you are and what you're good at and the things you want to be.
The energy that you give to others.
Yeah.
How much of it do you allow them to take? And if they're demanding stuff of you that you know is not your wheelhouse or is not that important, then you don't give it that the time and energy.
Just realize, too, and that's good that you said that, the time. I think kids, you have a real sense of what time is and how fast it goes.
Yes.
When I was younger, man, I was like, didn't you think you were going to live forever? I did.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was like... in my 20s, I was just like, man,
invincible.
I was like, I'm going to be the first person to live forever. Isn't that weird? Like, I used to think that to myself. Like, there's no way this is ever ending. Like, things are way too amazing. Uh-huh. It's all about me. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's, you can't live outside that little,
no.
You live in the present moment.
It's all about me. Mm-hmm. And it was never going to end, and it was great and everything. And not that it ends, well, but a certain aspect of it ends, but it almost gets more important, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you morph into something that's a little more important.
Along those lines, time management before and after parenting. So remember, did you ever see that quadrant, that time management quadrant? I don't know who did it, but it was Stephen Covey comes to mind, but it was something I've seen quite often. It's like there are non-urgent tasks, urgent tasks, important tasks, not important tasks, and then combinations of those. So you want to be working in the quadrant of things that are important and urgent, and maybe don't deal with the stuff, even the urgent stuff. Important stuff is more important than urgent,
right?
If that makes sense.
Yep.
So my new time quadrant, now that I'm a mom, one quadrant is what will keep my child alive.
Yep.
What will keep all the bills, all the utilities on in the household? What bill do I need to pay next?
Yeah.
That's not going to get me in trouble, although most of it is automated. And whose phone call do I need to return that's going to, or text, who's going to hate me the most if I don't do so in the next X amount of time? Isn't that kind of how things shake out after?
Yeah. Where did I hear this years ago? And I've been repeating it ever since, and it's so good. There are two columns in life, and one column is stuff that will kill the kids. And the other column is stuff that will not kill the kids. And as long as you keep everything in this column of stuff that will not kill the kids, you really have so little to worry about. And to even get halfway fired up about anything is worthless and senseless. And so,
okay.
And I really agree with that. And I know that's a little more generalized and dumbed down and watered down than the one you were saying.
No, yours is better because it's just two columns. I don't have to figure out the grid, right. The squares. That's better.
Yeah, I mean, you had quadrants and everything, and I was like, and I was terrible geometry, but I think that, like, for me, it works. Sometimes I just say to myself, I'll get to it when I get to it, when I get to it. And the reason why is because it's not in the stuff that'll kill the kids column. And if anybody else is upset about it, well, that's fine. You know what I mean?
Because
it didn't get into that column for me to hit the 911 button and the fire alarm to go off. And you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So, but I will say it does take some, I don't know, is it courage? It's not courage.
Boldness.
Bold. You got to be really bold. I mean, you really have to just say, that's it. And that's kind of easy for me to do most of the time. And other people, again, they get put off by it. They're like, wait, what? I matter more than you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, no, I'm sure you do. Just not to me at this moment in time. This thing doesn't matter
right. As
much as it does to you. So then that's like interpersonal relationship. You have to kind of go
it.
Through
mm-hmm.
that. But at the end of the day, if your kid, if it's not in the stuff that'll kill the kids column, you have to enjoy your life.
Mm-hmm.
You have to free yourself.
I'm going to start doing that. Now, if I have an issue, a problem, a to-do that's stressing me out, I'm going to put it in that column. Which column does it go in? And then I'm just going to go, okay.
Right.
Pressure's off.
It'll be in the stuff that will not kill the kids column, and then you'll just go,
I'll get to it when I get to it.
Get to it when I get to it. What's going to happen? Like, what am I going to get yelled at? I'm going to get an email? I mean, what's going to happen? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yes. What
is actually going to happen? And the answer is whatever happens probably won't be that big of a deal.
Exactly.
At least not as the other column.
Well, we know we have a lot of busy parents who are listening to our podcast.
Yeah.
So thank you. And go back, get back to all the things that are in that column to keep your kids alive.
That's right. And just relax. It's all good.